The Ensemble podcast is intended for professional financial advisors. This content is created in partnership with our sponsor, IOOF Investment Management Limited, IIML, ABN 53006 695 021, AFSL 230524. IIML is the trustee of the IOOF Portfolio Service Superannuation Fund, ABN 708153698. IIML is part of the Insignia Financial Group, which consists of Insignia Financial Limited, ABN 491001037222, and its related bodies corporate, and is limited to publicly available information. Before acting on any general advice, you should consider whether appropriate and obtain financial advice from a qualified financial advisor. Ensemble does not hold an AFS license and does not provide any financial advice or services or endorse any general advice. If a PDS or IM exists, you should obtain a copy and review it thoroughly before making a decision.
Welcome to this Ensemble series on rethinking retirement, advice, outcomes, and conversations, exploring new IRIS products and opening up the discussion on how to have better conversations with clients about their retirement. My name is Tanya Carlson. I'm the founder and principal advisor at Amplify Wealth Management, a boutique advice firm working closely with professionals and SMEs in the pre-retirement and retirement phase, and I'll be your host. We are going to be joined by experts and advisors in this series. We know that retirement is changing, and advisors really want to hear from other advisors on what they're doing and how they're bringing about these discussions. So let's dive in.
MLC Expand is the super and retirement platform built by advisors for advisors. It's an award-winning wrap designed to unlock potential for you and your clients. Intuitive and easy to use, MLC Expand streamlines advice delivery with simple account creation and powerful transaction capabilities, helping you maximize efficiency while giving your clients access to a comprehensive menu of high-quality investment options and the new innovative retirement income stream solution, MLC Retirement Boost. For more information, visit myexpand.com.au.
Hello and welcome to episode number 2 in our IRIS series. In this episode, we're going to look at the conversations being had by advisors with their clients, and we'll discuss all the common questions and where advisors or clients might get stuck in this area of advice. It's still quite new to the conversations being held. We want to sort of demystify IRIS products and help advisors articulate IRIS more clearly to clients. We have got an all-female crew today. It's very exciting. I'll introduce our panel to you. We've got Amber McGee from Firefly Financial in Perth, Western Australia, sorry. Renee Diver, also from Firefly Financial, and Erica Maliotis from Insignia. Thanks for joining us, ladies. I think we sort of want to get stuck into this conversation and into the nitty-gritty today. So really the thing that's led to this conversation piece is the big fact that 3 million Australians with $1.2 trillion of super money will retire in the next decade. And that's really shifting the focus from what we've seen in a mass sort of accumulation phase to decumulation. Given the large volume of people retiring, we've got some common issues that they face. The things that I guess are obvious to us is longevity, making their money last their lifetime, and also the confidence. And we'll sort of unpack that a little bit today. But I think as advisors, we really see how hard it is for clients to have confidence that their money is going to last their lifetime. Amber, let's start with you. What are some common approach you use when you're preparing clients for retirement? So even before they retire, what are some of the discussions that you have?
A big one is just talking about cash flow, because everybody knows that what they need to be able to live on really depends on what their living expenses are. So in those few years before retirement, you know, coming to the party to say, well, what are your genuine expenses? Seeing if they can live within that while they're still working and maybe earning significantly more than what they expect to be living on in retirement, and kind of getting a feel for, is that actually affordable? Is that level of lifestyle comfortable for them? And do we need to make an adjustment? Is it not enough? And if that's the case, then we need to start planning before they actually do get to retirement, where, you know, they could be high income earners thinking that they can live on $70,000 a year might not actually be the reality. So having those conversations about what their expectation of living expenses before they actually retire is something that I'd really, you know, talk quite lengthy in those few years before retirement.
Yeah, I think expectation is a really good word too, isn't it? Because we see sometimes that they've got this sort of everything's going to stay the same the opposite, where they're really worried about how am I going to go out to dinner or how do I, you know, buy a new car when I need one or something like that. Yeah. Renee, what about, tell me, I guess, how you introduce the considerations for the income. So this is where they have to start thinking about where money's coming from and then, you know, how you might introduce something like an IRIS product to the mix.
Yeah. So Amber touched on it really well. I'm very similar. I think it does come down to discussing their income, what they get at the moment and what their expectation is in the future. Having those discussions around income needs and what they expect to get out of it flows naturally into what do they consider. Before we overlay our strategy, it's good to hear what they are expecting. And then we can kind of touch on things about their assets that they currently have, how we're going to derive an income from that. You can usually get a feel on what their possible risk tolerance is. So it's starting to then get an understanding of what their thoughts, what their feelings are of market volatility and that risk associated with it. That can then naturally come into some lifetime income streams or just having a real, I guess, basic conversation on what products are out there for these income support needs for their retirement future.
It's really interesting when you talk about their risk tolerance, because I think, you know, traditionally clients and probably some advisors expect that just because a client is older and maybe amassed a little bit more money that they will take less risk. How do you talk to them about the fact that some of them might need to continue with some level of risk? How do you introduce that concept to clients?
I think when you get to understand the client a little bit more, some people are actually quite comfortable with market-linked investments. Some people might prefer or have been in that growth environment with market-linked investments for a while. So they might be quite comfortable. And breaking down risk profiles and talking about asset allocations and stuff with those types of clients will help. And then again, bring into conversations about some lifetime incomes. But I think if you have a lower balance, you have starting the conversation early. Like Amber mentioned, even with cash flow, it's also talking about expectation of balances, about market growth, some considerations that they might need to look into.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think it gets really hard when clients sort of don't want to take risk. Sometimes I don't even sort of understand what risk means. And it's sort of, even if you've been working with them for some time, keeping showing them some charts and diagrams and getting them comfortable. And like Amber said, referring to their expectations. What I'd like to do maybe is jump into some of the things that we see, I guess, common client questions, because I think IRIS products are a new concept, certainly for advisors, let alone clients, and at a stage where they're starting to feel like they want to retire and they want to sort of know that they're going to be okay for the rest of their life, we have to start to introduce this sort of concept of income discussion and where that's going to come from. The thing that I hear all the time, and I don't know about you guys, but the most common one is, this just sounds too complicated. You know, that sounds too hard for me. I like simple things. What do you say when a client comes to you with that sentence?
Well, I guess like for me, you know, it's about teaching them it is actually simple and actually building on their knowledge. So whilst anything new to anybody is going to be complicated, and it's exactly the same when this first came out and we were first learning about it, it does seem overly complicated. But then once you start actually unpacking it and you actually look underneath and what it actually is offering and what it's going to help clients do, I think as long as we're all should be educating our clients, because it's all about giving them the understanding, because if you understand something, you're more comfortable with it as well. So I think from that point of view, teaching the client about what it actually offers, and whilst, you know, what we set up today just is giving them options later on down the track, and actually talking about what are the options. It's a guaranteed income for life. It's potential Centrelink benefits. It's all of these things that it's hard for them to understand right now, because they're not at that stage in their life. So it's kind of giving those discussions and little drip feeds each appointment, and discussing, you know, what they are, unpacking each kind of aspect of it in different frames, so that, you know, when someone you're talking to in their 50s or early 50s or mid 50s aren't going to really see the benefit of it until much later on down the track. So you've got a lot of time, and kind of building on the knowledge base of where they start to finally, when it comes to actually having the product in place, they actually have a lot more understanding about it, and it's not so fearful for them as well.
Yeah, I think that's a key point, isn't it? We really need to start having these conversations sooner and talking about the flexibility and the choices that they've got within these sorts of products. Let's talk about how you might introduce the idea that it helps their Centrelink. What's a sort of a common way that you would phrase that, Renee?
I agree with Amber. I think starting the conversation early is key. I try and read the client and see what's the best way for them to absorb the information as well. So are they a visual client? Do they prefer numbers? And I find that out there, if you look, there are a lot of visual aids to help them understand how does it benefit them selling-wise. We've seen the charts ourselves. We've seen, and you can actually get client versions of those that are quite simplistic. It does really help us as an advisor explain to them what the benefits are and how you can blend an IRIS product with a traditional account-based pension. But even if you start really basic and simply, before they need to use the product, they will start to understand how that might fit their circumstance.
And do you think that, do you use like a bucketing sort of analogy? How do you sort of introduce all those concepts of what each layer is going to add to the piece? Is there a specific sort of way that you would do that, or is it more just assessing the client's needs? And then, like you said, if they're visual, you need to get out the tools, and if they're more a numbers person, you might sort of do some modeling, et cetera, and show them.
Sure. I think it is best to be personalized for the client scenario. We have an array of clients that come in with all different income streams. So whether it's rental income, account expansion still in the future, you do need to adapt that to their situation for them to fully understand how that's going to work. So if it's visual, it's making sure you explain where the income is coming from which entity. You can, like I mentioned, use visuals. You can use it in a simple term, but if people do or are getting closer to that retirement age, you can then overwrite, well, this is going to provide you this amount of income, and you can show them, like Amber mentioned, about the potential selling benefits, and you can actually give them some comparison tools as well.
Yeah, I think that Centrelink benefit and just an uplift in income is so powerful for clients. They want whatever they're entitled to, you know, which is of course fair enough. What do you say, Amber, when a client says, you know, what happens if I need my money earlier than I expected? Something goes wrong and I need to get my hands on some of that money?
I guess that would be the conversation we start having early on about, you know, there's a different reason why we pick the guaranteed income in comparison to also then the standard like account-based pension when we are looking at this IRIS product. And it's talking about the fact that you're still going to have availability of cash in that standard account-based product, and you're still going to be able to have that liquidity and that cash available. But you also have to then speak to them about, you know, whilst you might need liquidity early on in those times, you know, the whole point of the IRIS product and that guaranteed income is longevity and, you know, making sure that we're living for now, but also planning for long term as well. So I think those discussions on that is more about saying, well, they're still going to have the same liquidity, but on the flip side, they're also going to have guaranteed income long term as well. So I think it's kind of helping mitigate those fears about liquidity and still showing that it is still flexible. It still has a lot of the features that, you know, a standard account-based pension has, But I guess trying to explain that the benefit of this is the fact that they also are getting a guaranteed income on that one as well.
Yeah. It's so tricky, isn't it? Because I've had clients say to me when we talk about longevity risk, you know, my mum and dad passed away before they hit 80. Like, I'm not going to last that long. You know, don't be silly. Look at me. You know, and they sort of carry on as if they're, you know, one step away from death's door. But, you know, from our perspective, we see someone who, and often I get out the statistics of, look, you know, there's a more than 50% chance that one of you will live into your 90s. And that's a long time to sort of fund. Do you see that sort of common pushback about longevity issues?
I do sometimes. I have a few clients that, is like exactly you said, or my parents passed away young. And so they have this like preconceived notion that, you know, they're not going to last forever. And, you know, you have to remind them that, well, people are living longer today than they were 10, 20 years ago, and the life expectancy is longer. So whilst you might not think that, it's saying you've got to also plan for what we don't know. You know, at the end of the day, you could pass away early, but also you could live well into your 90s, and making sure that you're comfortable and still doing the things that you want to do today and not compromising what your, you know, living expenses are going to be in the future, I think is really important. So it's about, I guess, giving them a realistic expectation that, again, you know, you could live into your 90s, and we have to plan for both scenarios.
Yeah. And I think that's important too, isn't it? We have to plan for that, because we're not doing our job properly if we just sort of listen to them and say, okay, we'll do our projections to 75 and then you're gone. It's really about being prepared for any scenario that could occur. Erica, I'm sorry, I want to bring you into the conversation. You're talking with advisors all the time about these sorts of products. And I guess, you know, what are some of the ways that you see advisors are successfully helping other advisors, or you might be helping other advisors use different language when talking about these products? What are some tips?
Yeah, I think it's important just to unpack this solution. I think when initially advisors start looking at this solution, and again, as Amber Renee said, it can get quite complicated for clients. So the one thing that we focus on is how can you actually explain this to your clients in really simple terms, and always focusing on the client's goals. Link it to the client goals. I think the one thing that I tend to hear a lot from advisors is that clients are always concerned about the estate planning side and what they can potentially lose.
Yes.
And again, I think for any client, it's actually focusing on that component of it, not really looking at having an income stream for life and making sure that you can have that retirement that you actually want. So it's really, really important to always link it to the client goals. Get the mix right between what you're going to have in an account-based pension versus a lifetime income stream, and always explain to a client that you're going to have that flexibility and you're doing the mix that you're doing to ensure that you can cater for their end-time goals, but also maintain that flexibility if anything was to change.
That's a really good point, getting the mix right. I mean, I guess for advisors who might be starting to look at these products and potentially they've tried to introduce it to a conversation, it's been a bit wobbly, we've come up with this sounds complicated question, or no, I don't want that because of the estate planning. And I want to come back to that estate planning too, because I think that's a really important piece. But, I mean, is there a sweet spot where an IRIS is perfectly positioned? Obviously, everyone's circumstances are different, but where would you see that sitting, Erica?
Interestingly, for a lot of people that think about this category, we automatically go to Centrelink benefits. It's actually a lot more than just Centrelink benefits. So there isn't one ideal client for this. Absolutely, Centrelink benefits is one component of it. But again, it's filtering it to that income for life. So when we talk about that mix, probably a really easy way to think about it is, if the client had no money tomorrow, how much above, let's say, the full age pension would they want to be able to maintain a comfortable lifestyle? So that could be a really great starting point.
Yeah.
Because then you know that that's the amount of income you actually put in for life.
Okay.
But then you've got a lot of other scenarios where you might have a high net worth client that is asset
rich but is not deriving income out of those assets. So it might be that you need to have an income for life, or you might have someone that has a younger spouse that you really need to cater for their lifetime. So it is absolutely driven by Centrelink, but it's not just a Centrelink solution. And, you know, being able to come up with that mix is always going to be based on the goals of the client.
Mm. Renee, what about your experience with that? Have you found that there's sort of a more ideal amount or a type of client that might specifically be suited? I love that younger spouse scenario too. That's something we're starting to see more and more of.
Yeah, there's a mix of clients that this product suits. It was mentioned to Erica the other day about I had a couple of clients with some defined benefit super products, and they had to come out of that into that retirement space, and this was just such a fitting product for some of their assets going into that retirement because they were not exposed to market-linked investment after a long period of working life. So even though the Centrelink side of it wasn't possibly there, it was something else that just gave them that assurance that they had a small level of comfort, that they had an income for life. They weren't going to be fully exposed to the market. Some of it was, and we did a blend. So it can suit some of those high net worth clients. You have clients that are possibly, we thought originally would be out of Centrelink altogether, but blending this IRIS product with an account-based pension, they can get a part payment. So they're very happy with that type of scenario. And also, like those lower balances, if they have that longevity worry where that their balance won't last. So you are finding those are the types of clients that highlight their goals do match this IRIS product.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think the defined benefit clients, you're right, they've never had to be worried about markets going up and down. They just sort of see their super in sort of a nice protected ring. And then if they've got, if their product requires them to exit, which is becoming more common now, they're into a whole new world, aren't they? They haven't even had their working life to get used to that concept. That's a really powerful discussion that you can have with them around that. Erica, I want to come back to that younger spouse scenario because I think we're starting to see that a lot, and you know, male, female, either way, really. Is the benefit of these IRIS products through a sort of a reversionary nomination? Is that where that really kicks into play? Yeah, tell me how that
works. Absolutely. So being able to add on your spouse as a spouse option, which basically means when the primary partner passes away, the income will revert to the spouse for their lifetime as well. And I think it is becoming a lot more common and we're seeing that a lot more. And at least that way you are locking in some sort of income floor for the spouse for their lifetime, which I think is really, really important.
Yeah, that's a really important consideration, I think. And even I wonder for blended families, you know, where different, we've got these sort of different layers to someone's income, where it's coming from. But if there's an estate event, you know, there can be complexity and certain assets might be earmarked for somebody else in the family and suddenly there's this no income. It's a very big change of circumstances for people. So I think that's a really powerful opportunity to talk through what that could look like, especially in those blended families where there might be some complexity of relationships and things like that that sort of, you know, always play out if that significant person is to pass away. Yeah, that's really interesting. Any other sort of unique scenarios that you think are worth mentioning here today?
Look, from my perspective, I think it's just really being open to not looking at this solution as what we've typically looked at it previously. None. So, you know, if we go back in history, even with a lifetime annuity, it's always been focused on one particular type of client. For this, we've really got to consider that people are living a lot longer. And, you know, if we go back 10 years ago, it probably wasn't that type of conversation that we had with retirees. But if you are going to have people living into their 90s, 95s, this is where this type of solution comes into it. I think the other thing also, you know, if we look at our parents, our grandparents, they probably were able to live on a lot less in retirement. People's expectations in retirement now have completely shifted.
Oh, definitely.
for a lot of retirees, they do want to have the traveling. They want to be able to go out for dinners, go to the football, do whatever they want to do. So that income level that people have lived on previously is not the income level people are going to want in the future.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? Yeah, we used to have those quiet years or that tapering sort of event in income needs, but we're just not seeing that anymore. Is that the case for you, Amber? Are you noticing that clients are spending a consistent amount, maybe not necessarily more?
And I think as well, because of how the world has changed and how people travel for longer periods of time. So it's one of those things where, you know, if we're talking 20 years ago, if they retired, they might have only done travel for 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Or, you know, a couple of big trips and then kind of then being just comfortable with being with the grandkids and kind of being more homebodies. Whereas the, you know, people in their mid 50s to 60s that are looking at retirement, they might have not done any travel in the past. And so their game is they want to do a lot of the travel in retirement. And the holiday expense, I think now, you know, before we were saying, yeah, you could do a holiday for maybe $10,000 to $15,000 a year, but that's just not real, you know, realistic anymore. If they're wanting to go to the US or Canada or Europe, you know, you're looking at least $20,000 to $30,000 for being able to do what they want. So it's
and
one of those.
They're taking their families with them. I've got some clients that are now, you know, oh, we'll take the grandkids with us, you know, oh, then we may as well take the whole family. So suddenly what might have been a you know, even a $20,000 or $30,000 trip is now a $60,000 or $90,000 trip. It's a lot of money to be spending in one hit.
And it is one of those things that we see it happen, I think, as well, where like they are traveling longer as well. So it's not just doing it for the first, you know, 2 to 8 years of retirement. Yes. I've got clients that are still traveling in their 80s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's, again, because of this longevity issue, we're seeing people in good health for a lot longer. So they're able to do these things, which is so very true. I guess, Renee, let's talk a little bit about the difference between these market-linked annuities and traditional annuities. I think most advisors would be familiar with those traditional annuities products. But when you're talking with a client, do you ever get asked about the differences between these, or do you have a particular way that you explain that market-linked annuities or IRIS products would work?
I do get asked by clients a lot what the differences
Fair enough.
Are, I'll be honest. Usually peers, advisors, we're chatting about the new products that are coming out. And yes, we are talking about those differences. I think from a client's perspective, they're more looking at it on, is that cash? Is that market link? They're trying to just understand the concept or the structure because it's all just new.
Yeah.
I have had some clients that have had annuities in the past. So that some of them may understand the cash-based annuity products, and that's great. So then you can just add on to that concept and say, well, this is how they differ.
Yeah.
So I am finding that clients aren't asking the differences. It's more at advisor or within our industry.
Yeah.
And I love a good conversation about what's happening in the market, so loving that.
Yeah.
I think it's really, I'd love to see more in, I guess, the marketing and the media for clients to understand. I don't think there's a lot out there, or my clients, I'm the one that's bringing this to the table. I'm saying, hey, have you heard of this? I know you might be used to what your parents or family members and friends are used to, an account-based pension. But are you aware that this is in the on the market? It's not just one platform. It is out there through the market, and it is, I'm hoping, being advertised more.
Well, I think that's the whole point about talking about it, isn't it? Because I think we're all sort of dancing around the edges of these conversations with IRIS products. And I feel, like you said, we probably more talk to our peers about some of the complexities or understanding, or how should I explain this to a client? Because we can see that there's a real value to be added here. But it sometimes feels a bit too hard. And like you say, if their parents haven't heard of these sorts of things before, there's not much on the media at all, really, when you're watching TV or maybe in print form. Do you think that's something that we need to see more of for clients to be starting to feel comfortable with that? Or are you finding that once you're explaining it, they're comfortable taking your advice?
I think clients assume what retirement looks like. I think they learn from their family, peers and the likes, seeing their parents walk through those steps, or they've heard it on that mass marketing media side. I hope that there is a lot more talking out there in the public about these, but I find, like Amber and I said, talking about these things early in those later years of accumulation phase, talking to clients about them, just really simply, these are the products that are available.
Mm.
And then kind of overlaying it with their position and explaining that friends and family might be in different situations. Other products might be more appropriate for their situation. We want to blend and adapt things for them and personalize it.
I think just on that as well, like what Tanya was saying as well, is I think it's a mix. Like if we go to the client and we suggest like this product is appropriate for them and explain why it's appropriate for them, but you know, we can do so much and a lot of clients are comfortable with taking our recommendations, but you also have these clients that if it's not well marketed and if it's not something they've heard of, It doesn't matter if you explain it till you're blue in the face. At the end of the day, something that they've not heard of before is still scary. So I do think whilst, you know, Renee and I can have those conversations with the client, and I would suggest 85% of them are comfortable with having that kind of recommendation made and implementing, you know, what we have suggested. Mm. There are that small portion that they're always going to do their own research. They're always going to, you know, go to that extent. So I think that if it is well explained in just general market and advertise from an industry point of view, because, you know, we see a lot of ads for industry funds and, you know, we don't see a lot of ads to, you know, this. So it's like maybe if we had something that kind of helped us with those, you know, maybe 10 or 15% of clients that are in that category that need that additional support, whether it's not our support, it's outside support, I think that's what might actually help with those harder conversations with those particular clients.
I agree wholeheartedly, Amber. I think that there are clients that are looking to sort of say, oh, I've heard of that. And yeah, that I have looked at that and I'm not quite sure. Could you explain it to me again? Because they're in a trusted relationship and they can ask some questions and feel that they're not being silly. But I think that's definitely something that we'll see on occasion as well. Erica, What do you think is going to be the future? And obviously it's crystal ball stuff here, so I know you can't tell us exactly, but what do you see happening with Iris products into the future, or what would you like to see?
Look, I think as we know, every provider will be having to come up with a solution around this. And I absolutely agree. We do need to get a lot more out to clients to start understanding this category a little bit more. But I think as providers start bringing it out and it starts becoming the norm, I think that will naturally happen. Just like superannuation, I think this will be the same thing, because I think it is really, really important to start educating members. I think at this point in time, though, for all providers that do have solutions out there today, it is really trying to educate advisors at this point in time on how to use it, what to think about, how to unpack the solution, how it compares to our traditional solutions and where it can actually add value for clients and the overall strategy for clients.
Where do you think advisors might be going wrong when they're trying to sort of start with this at the moment? Do you see any sort of, you know, like, oh, don't start that way type, you know, tips and tricks?
Yeah, I don't think it's wrong. I think what I've spoken to a lot of advisors nationally, I think it's probably focusing on or having preconceived ideas about what the solution does. So for advisors that, let's say, traditionally have not used lifetime annuities, this will be very, very foreign. And especially if they've always just used an account-based pension and that's been the solution for their clients and they're comfortable with having those conversations, this is a little bit foreign. But if we think about a solution from an IRIS perspective, it's really what you get out of a lifetime annuity and what you get out of an account-based pension. It's in one solution. So you've still got that control of being able to review it with your clients and manage that income with your clients as well, even though there's, you know, a few various different rules when you compare them side by side. So I think it's just really unpacking the solution, understanding the comparison between our traditional solutions that we have today versus this, and then knowing where it actually fits in for which type of client and how to actually have that discussion. But I think it's being really open to understanding the solution. And that would be the only thing I would say to every advisor.
I think as well on that, Erica, like I know that Insignia have some really great tools and visuals. I think, you know, for an advisor that doesn't really know a lot about it, actually picking up and having a play with the tools and seeing how, you know, they've got a client coming in and actually playing around with the tools on how that could actually impact them. As someone that may not know the product or may not know how it actually works, for me, I'm a visual and I'm a, you know, learn by actually giving it a go. So I think that that's a really great way of starting if you, you know, if an advisor doesn't really understand how they work or not really sure, jumping onto some of the tools that are available for the products that have actually released this and actually having a play around with the different features and making adjustments to it, I think is a really great starting point.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah, that's
a really going to
point.
Some of the other industry events as well. You can pick up some ways to articulate this to clients as well, going to different sessions.
Yeah.
Even if you pick up a couple of different key points from each session, it's valuable.
It's a really good point too, because I think I've always been a bit of an adopt or adapt somebody else's language. You know, you hear somebody say something, even the word blend, I was thinking that's a great way of introducing how you're going to produce income and growth. And, you know, we've, I guess, traditionally used layering or bucket strategies for clients. But I think you can get caught up in your own language and your own habits of how you introduce something. And so bringing in something new doesn't feel natural, but the client doesn't know you're bringing in something new. So it might even be for advisors to start finding the right words, like you say, going along to events, hearing a little bit more about it, and then we're getting better at recognizing, oh, this might be something that's suitable for this client just based on a word they use back at us about some of their concerns. And like you say, Amber, if we're playing around on some tools, we've got an idea to either show them live or go and prepare some work and get them back in to have a conversation around that. Does anyone get any questions from clients or have any personal views on the fees associated with these products? Is that something that's ever come up in any of your conversations before?
Not at this stage. I feel that, you know, when we talk about it, I do say like at, you know, at the front end when we were adding this feature onto some of the accumulation clients for that future, we say, well, there's no additional cost for it. And I think it's important to get that understanding that it's just an added feature that we can use later on down the track. And, you know, at that initial stage is talking about that there isn't an additional cost to have this, but it gives us options and it's better to have it and not use it than need it in the future and then not have had it as well.
Definitely. Really, really important. And what about when we get to the elephant in the room, which is the clients that talk about estate planning complexity around these products and maybe how you might navigate those conversations with your clients? I'd like to hear from both of you. So happy to start with you or whichever of you ready to go first, Renee.
Good timing. I was just speaking to Erica about a tool I love is I'm very visual like Amber. And if this is a strategy that I am thinking this is appropriate for that set of client, it's really good. I like to run it through a couple of tools that are available. And some of them actually give you a bit of a table that outlines these are the income. So they can see the visual of the income. However, on the same table, if you look to the other side, it actually gives you that estate planning impact. And they can see black and white right there. And it does talk about the elephant in the room. And I can quickly, I guess, lead in with it and say, this is how it impacts. There are some withdrawal features and this is how it would impact your estate. We would then go into the conversation of, again, this IRS lifetime income stream product can be blended with an account-based pension. And then we can talk about the assets and the estate planning side of it. So that's how I use that. Being visual, they can see there in black and white, this is only a projection and this is only a starting, I guess, draft, But can you visualize how this suits your goals and your situation?
I think, and just on that, like when we talk about estate planning, obviously clients, whether it's estate planning or, you know, aged care talk, they're always concerned about, well, what are they going to get out of it at the end of it? Like if they have to go into aged care or if they pass away, what are their kids going to receive? And I think like both of those discussions kind of go hand in hand. So it's talking about the fact, yes, you know, if we do have some of that money in that guaranteed income, then there are going to be a portion that for a certain amount of years, yes, they will get some money back. And there is an amount that they get back depending on, you know, all of the circumstances. And then it's the discussion that when they get to a certain age or a certain point, the estate doesn't get paid anything from that portion. But explaining that they do have that account-based pension that the estate will receive. And it's having a conversation about the reason we do the guaranteed income isn't for an estate planning purpose when it comes to the beneficiaries receiving a lump sum. The guaranteed income is for them and for their longevity. So, you know, there's that they might not get that. The estate might not get that, but what they get is the comfort knowing that their income is going to last. So It's into the time frame that, yes, from an estate planning point of view, but like Erica said, if you've got a younger spouse and it goes to the spouse is still going to receive that. So as a couple, they're less concerned about it because it's like, well, we're still going to be fine. And then if you talk about that other parcel that's like the, you know, the account-based pension, they also know that the kids are still going to be fine because they're still going to inherit the account-based pension part. I also feel the discussion I'm having with clients about estate planning, you know, this generation also cares a little bit less about leaving a legacy, which is quite funny as well. And in their mind, a lot of the time, the constant is, oh, well, they'll inherit the house. Like that is where they come from an estate plan. And so I think that also eases that conversation around estate planning as well.
Mm. And Erica, anything from your perspective there?
I think it's just important that we do challenge clients a little bit as well around their thinking, because again, when we think about a lifetime income stream, it is there as the promise to pay income for life. And absolutely maintain that flexibility within an account-based pension, but being able to give the client comfort. And I suppose it's going back on the fact that if you had no money left, how much would you want above that full age pension to live off? So you've got a comfortable retirement. That's the part that you're basically putting into that lifetime income stream if you're doing it based on that circumstance. But I think, it's giving clients that comfort that you're still maintaining that flexibility. You're not putting the total amount in these types of solutions.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a really good point. I think as an industry, we've probably got a little bit of work to do on starting to unwind some of the things that have happened over time with so much money building up in the superannuation system that it's naturally become an estate planning tool. It's not what it's designed for. We all know it's the benefit for members' retirement. But with strategies like recontribution strategies and all those sorts of things, we often bring it up as an estate planning concern and how do we best manage that to show that we're doing all the things that the client needs to be thinking of. But the side effect could be that people are really putting their money into super as an estate planning tool down the track. And maybe we need to start focusing on coming back to those concerns, which is longevity, confidence, sequencing risk, market risk, the sort of things we know will really impact a client's retirement. Excellent. Well, I think we have probably covered all the points that we need to sort of open up discussion and really get other advisors in particular comfortable with talking about IRIS products. I think like Renee and Amber mentioned, it's probably get yourself along to some professional development days and play around with some products, allow those BDMs into your office and spend a bit of time getting to understand, some ways to pull it into the scenarios that you're seeing more regularly when talking with clients. And hopefully the more we start to utilize these products, the more comfortable we're all going to be and the more benefit there is to the clients, really. Yeah.
I think it's one of the way of the future, and it's one of those things that we're all going to have to jump on board. And the sooner we get comfortable with them, the easier it's going to be as an industry as well.
Definitely true. Definitely true. It's just making it a bit of a habit, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. All right, ladies, appreciate your time and sharing your experiences and the ways that you position these with your clients. Greatly appreciate you coming along today.
It was lovely being here. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Excellent. Thank you.
See ya.